At 12:01 a.m. this morning, the first round of U.S. sanctions on Iran went into effect. But here's the thing. When we say the sanctions went into effect, it's not like someone flipped a switch at the Treasury Department and suddenly Iran is sanctioned. There are hundreds of private companies, banks and metal importers and car makers that also need to play along if you want to successfully cut off an entire country from the international economy, which is sort of the point of these sanctions. Each one of those private companies also becomes a potential crack in the sanctions regime.
It is like whack-a-mole. You know, money is like water. It'll flow wherever it can.
Catherine Bauer is a fellow at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. She used to work at the U.S. Treasury, and her job was to implement sanctions on Iran.
The U.S. and other governments, when they're looking to implement sanctions, really need the cooperation of the private sector. They're the partner with the policymaker in, excluding a bad actor from the financial system.
And a lot of these private sector companies whose compliance America needs, they're not necessarily American companies, which means they may not be directly subject to American laws.
And that's the case with one company in particular, SWIFT. And the word SWIFT, by the way, is an acronym for a super long name. And that name is the Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunication. We are not going to say that again. We're just going to call it SWIFT. SWIFT is a small Belgian company that provides financial messaging services to help banks transfer money across borders. Most people probably don't think about SWIFT all that much, but it actually underpins the entire international financial system. This is The Indicator. I'm Cardiff Garcia.
And I'm Darius Rafieyan. And today on the show, SWIFT, how this small but crucially important company has found itself smack dab in the middle of a bitter transatlantic dispute.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from ExxonMobil, the company that's helping cars go further with less, making cars more efficient and helping to reduce emissions. Learn more at energyfactor.com. ExxonMobil, energy lives here. Support also comes from State Street Global Advisors. Download Crazy Enough to Work, a podcast series with Elizabeth Banks about the bold moves mid-cap companies make to thrive and survive. Provided by State Street Global Advisors Funds Distributors, LLC.
Back in May, President Donald Trump announced the U.S. would be pulling out of the Iran nuclear deal. That was an agreement signed by major world powers to provide sanctions relief to Iran in exchange for Iran scaling back its nuclear program. And Trump's announcement did not go over well in Europe.
With friends like that, who needs enemies?
Whoa! That is Donald Tusk, president of the European Council. In May, when he was speaking, he really took President Trump to task for scrapping the nuclear deal with Iran.
He has made us realize that if you need a helping hand, you will find one at the end of your arm.
Wow. If you need a helping hand, you'll find one only at the end of your own arm.
Serving up that high-quality shade, high-quality European shade.
High-quality shade with an accent. Love it. European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker and Angela Merkel, who's the Chancellor of Germany, also condemned the decision by the U.S. to scrap the nuclear deal, and they all vowed to do everything in their power to save as much of the deal as they could.
And that is where SWIFT comes in. See, the sanctions that went into effect this morning, they only cover part of the Iranian economy. They cover precious metals, automotive industry, some parts of banking. But there's this other set of sanctions that's set to go into effect on November 4th. And that'll be much more sweeping. It will cover Iran's energy sector, their ports. And part of that package of sanctions is a ban on Iran using the SWIFT system, this money transfer system.
Yeah, to explain a little bit more about SWIFT, remember, it's a messaging system for banks, and it was developed in the 1970s to kind of streamline money transfers, make them a bit smoother. And today, it's the main way that big banks move money across borders. Nearly $5 trillion worth are transferred using SWIFT every day. And the U.S. wants SWIFT to stop doing business with Iran. It is one of the companies that the U.S. wants to no longer do business with Iran.
But it's a particularly important company for the effectiveness of the sanctions regime. And the reason for that is that SWIFT is the main way that Iran gets paid for its oil. As long as Iran can stay connected to SWIFT, it has this financial lifeline. Because in Iran, oil is a huge part of the economy. At its height, in 2011, the Iranian petroleum industry provided more than half of the country's budget. And there are a lot of companies and even countries out there that would probably like to keep buying oil from Iran in spite of sanctions. But without SWIFT, they won't be able to pay Iran. And the last time Iran got cut off from SWIFT, during the Obama administration, the country's oil revenue was nearly cut in half, basically overnight.
The U.S. government is now seeking to cut Iran off from SWIFT yet again. But it can't do it by itself because SWIFT, remember, is based in Belgium, and SWIFT has said that it will follow whatever the European Union decides on this matter.
And the EU, for its part, says it has no intention of forcing SWIFT to cut off Iran.
There is the European attempt to kind of stand up for Iran.
Benem Bentaleblou is a research fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. It's a think tank that has long taken a hard line on Iran and sanctions.
You've been seeing Europeans grab the third rail with both hands, saying, you know, this is one area we're looking to fight you on. The question is, will there be a showdown between the EU and America over SWIFT and Iran?
This fight between European leaders and President Donald Trump is about a lot more than just Iran. It's also about trade policy and ideological, political differences. It's even in part about leaders in Europe needing to look like they're standing up to President Trump. And SWIFT has become almost like a proxy for that larger fight.
So it kind of becomes this game of chicken in advance of November 4.
Not only has the European Union made it clear that it does not plan to force SWIFT to delist Iranian banks, the EU has actually gone a step further. It has put in place an update to something called a blocking statute. That update went into effect also at 12:01 a.m. this morning. And what that blocking statute actually does, it seems to make it illegal for EU persons to comply with American sanctions.
Now, the wording of this blocking statute, it's a bit vague. There are waivers offered, and it's not 100% clear how it'll be implemented and to what extent it's just sort of a symbolic gesture.
Yeah, we're just podcast hosts here. We are not international law scholars.
But you know, reading the press release that the EU put out, they said it's illegal for EU persons to comply with sanctions. And even if it is just a symbolic gesture, the message is clear. America said comply with sanctions or else, and Europe said, or else what?
That's the thing about sanctions. Sometimes, in order to be effective, they require other countries to participate, to cooperate. And Catherine Bauer, whose job it was to implement sanctions back when she was at the U.S. Treasury Department, she says diplomacy is just an integral part of the job.
That's a big part of what U.S. Treasury officials do in terms of sitting down with foreign counterparts, official to official, you know, trying to solicit their buy-in.
By November 4th, SWIFT will either play along with U.S. sanctions and cut off Iran, or it won't. And if it doesn't cut off Iran, then this will be an example, to borrow a phrase from Donald Tusk, of the U.S. seeking a helping hand and only finding one at the end of its own arm.
Hey, Asma.
Hey, Scott.
Another crazy week. We've got North Korea.
Yep, we got Russia.
Midterms.
And, of course, President Trump. And what happens whenever there is crazy news that erupts? We pop into the studio and break it down to make sense.
So if you see a headline,
we've discussed it.
It's the NPR Politics Podcast.